Hello, Liz here, just quickly jumping into the episode today to share something I am so excited about and something that's potentially transformational with you today. If you're feeling curious about going plant-based, or maybe you're just wanting to eat a predominantly plant-based diet but still keep some of your favorite animal products in the mix, or maybe if you're already vegan or you're new to being plant-based but you just don't feel like you're thriving, well, I have got some great news for you. I have teamed up with my friend, accredited nutritionist, Naturally Nina, to create a free online training going through the three things you must know to thrive on a plant-based diet. Nina and I have created this training specifically for people who are just like we were when we first went plant-based. We were wanting to not only meet our nutritional needs on a plant-based diet, but to feel energized and like we were thriving. But we were a bit overwhelmed and confused and unsure where to get trustworthy plant-based nutrition info from. And we also wanted to know how to make our own delicious balanced meal plans that were inspiring and fresh and actually kept us feeling full. But we were unsure of the step-by-step process of how to get to this amazing place with our diets. So if this sounds like you too, you are going to want to watch the training, and be sure to stay until the end because we'll be sharing a super exclusive promo price into our new course, Thriving on a Plant-Based Diet. Plus, we'll have some amazing bonuses to get you inspired, but these are only available for a limited time, so make sure to watch the training ASAP. The link is in the show notes. Welcome to the Vegan Diaries podcast. My name is Liz Douglas, your host, and I am here to help inspire you and make it as easy as possible to explore a vegan lifestyle. On the show, we connect with some of the most interesting people within the vegan community, like plant-based recipe creators, influencers, bloggers, politicians, animal activists, dietitians, and entrepreneurs, all of whom are contributing to this rapidly evolving global movement that you and I are now a part of. Thank you for joining me, and let's get into today's episode. Hello, welcome back to the Vegan Diaries potty. I hope you're having a gorgeous day. I am myself currently sitting in a service department in Richmond because my place has rail works happening out the front, and because it's going to be so noisy at nighttime, the state government very kindly put Steve and I up, and Sookie as well, our cat, in a nice two-bedroom apartment in Richmond, which if you don't know, Melbourne is in the inner eastern suburbs. It is so much closer for me getting into my day job at the office. It only takes like 15 minutes now, whereas normally I live like, you know, in the outer suburbs and it would take over an hour. So it has been such a nice lifestyle change. Not going to lie, I do miss the city life. But yeah, I wanted to do a solo podcast episode for you guys today. I often get asked about my advice for people who are trying to go vegan or maybe who are curious about dabbling in veganism. So I thought I would use today's episode to talk about just some tips that are probably not the immediate ones that you might think of, but just a few things that might be helpful for you, and maybe some product recommendations as well. I often think that at the start, we don't really know what to buy or like what's good and what's not. So I'm just going to give you my two cents on those. And I thought I would also finish the episode by talking a little bit about how my perspective on veganism has changed. I've been vegan for 3 years now. I don't actually remember the date that I went vegan. I think it was around August 2019, but I'm not 100% sure. So I think I've been vegan for 3 years now. But yeah, my perspective has shifted a little bit, particularly this year. And I'll go into that more in the at the end of the episode, just about how rigid I am with veganism and my thinking on it, I guess, as a whole in general. So yeah, that's what today's episode is going to be. So to kick off, I thought I would share some tips for people who are looking to go vegan. And even if you are already vegan, maybe these will be something that you haven't thought of before, or maybe they are something that you would advise other people as well. But I hope that you do get something out of it too. I think the first thing is, obviously, this is what everybody always says, but you do need to have a really strong reason why. Don't underestimate how challenging it can be to make a change like this in your life, into your daily routine, into, you know, essentially changing the way that you've eaten growing up, probably, if you are like most of us and have been raised, you know, eating a regular omnivorous diet. You do have to have a really strong emotional connection to your cause, whether that is environmental reasons for the animals or for your health. I personally don't think that the health argument is very strong, because you'll be treating it more like a diet. And if new science or evidence came out that supported a different kind of diet, then that might, you know, mean that you're not vegan anymore. And I would just be quite hesitant personally to call myself vegan if I was doing it for health. I think that is more maybe plant-based, but That is totally up to you. I'm not here to police anybody's language. You can absolutely call yourself whatever you want. One thing I would say though, yeah, when it comes to animal welfare and the environment, there are so many documentaries out there that you can watch yourself, and those all give really compelling arguments, and the evidence is pretty hard to deny. It's certainly, for me, impossible to deny that animals don't want to die and that they do suffer and that they are sentient and absolutely capable of feeling fear, feeling pain. And for me, that is the most, that's why I'm vegan, is just because I have that compassion for them. And even if you don't like animals, I do think that you don't have to be vegan, or, you know, you don't have to be an animal lover to agree that the way that we treat animals is pretty disgusting, I think, in most animal agriculture industries. So first of all, I'm just assuming in this case that you do have one of those very strong reasons why: environmental, animal welfare, or perhaps your health, but, you know, I would say the first two are stronger. Assuming that you do have that commitment to make this significant change in your life, I would say that your mental health and making sure that you still feel connected to other people is one of the most important things that you can do. It can be such a heavy topic when you are doing all of this research about veganism and you understand the magnitude of the impact that we are having on the environment and on the planet and just how many animals are dying. It is so soul-crushingly heartbreaking that it can feel really overwhelming. And I found I was in a very dark place when I first went vegan for a few weeks, like very teary. I was listening to podcasts on my way to work to educate myself. And I actually found as well, if you are still yet to go vegan, or, you know, thinking about it, or you're just wanting to like potentially reduce your meat intake or your animal product intake, I would highly recommend the How to Go Vegan podcast. It's very different to mine. She, can't remember the name of the woman who is the host because it was 3 years ago that I listened to it, but it really was a very powerful podcast. Everything is explained really plainly in an unemotional kind of way, but in a very fact-focused way. And basically, it goes into all of the different industries and why there are moral quandaries with what we are doing to animals in each of those industries. I guess it gave me the fundamentals of like my new value system when it comes to veganism, and it just showed me just how horrible it is, and I was just totally disgusted by what I learned. So I was just like, you know what, this is just not really acceptable to me. And I made the change. But anyway, I do digress. The point of what I was trying to get out was that it can be very heavy when you are learning all of this new information and your, you know, value system and the way that you viewed the world until this point is being challenged. Like, you know, most of us go through life never realizing that all of these atrocities are happening in order to get food to the supermarket and onto our plate. And so it can really shake your worldview and things can suddenly be a bit tilted. And that really does rattle you a little bit. So I think maintain that sense of connection with people around you, even if they aren't interested in veganism. You know, certainly you don't want to tolerate anybody being disrespectful, but I wouldn't push people away because they don't show an immediate interest in veganism. Don't lose people over it is what I would say. At this time in your life, when you're going through such a transformation internally, like through your perspective shift, it's so important that you do anchor yourself with the people that you love around you. It might require a little bit of delicate communication at times, depending on how they react to the situation. Because of course, if you think back to before, maybe you were making this change, you know, veganism probably seemed extreme. It certainly used to seem extreme to me, and certainly very restrictive and not something that was appealing at all. So I sometimes, when I get a bit of a funny reaction from people, from, you know, like an auntie or somebody at a, you know, that I don't know very well at like a work, you know, function or something, I do try to put myself back in that mindset of where I was maybe even before I went pescatarian, because I was pescatarian for 4 years before I went vegan. I try to put myself back into that mindset and think, okay, how would I have thought about veganism back then? And like, I just wouldn't have known what people even eat. It would have seemed very restrictive, I think, and kind of like a bit of a sad way to eat and live. So I do try to remind myself of how I used to see things, and it makes you a bit more empathetic, I guess, as to where they might be coming from, or a bit more understanding when they might say something that's a bit uneducated or something that's a little bit abrasive at times. Like, you know, you often get those ones where it's like, oh, why would you want to call it, you know, fish if it's not really fish, or like, you know, regarding mock meats and things like that. So do try to come from that place of understanding, because if you are angry and like if you are frustrated with people, it only eats you up inside and they don't even know about it. And so that's like, I'm speaking from experience because it annoys me as well. But I try to let it go and try to think back to that, how I used to see veganism before I went vegan. So anyway, going back to it, it can be quite a heavy time in your life when you are making this change. So try and think of ways that you can make it fun and exciting and a positive experience. After I first went vegan, I think I went to the World Vegan Day event at the Showgrounds in November. And that was just such an amazing and expansive experience for me because I went there and it was this really upbeat, like, you know, carefree kind of festival with all these amazing food options, products that I hadn't seen before, like fashion, as well as even like some, you know, quirky like pins and like kind of statement t-shirts and totes and stuff. And there were lots of speakers as well, both regarding vegan business and like, I think activism and all sorts of different topics that I hadn't really even considered before. And I took Steve along, who's my husband. I took Steve along with me as well to that event. And it was like stepping into a new world, and also having him be there with me was so great. Like, and he has been amazing actually, like in terms of being a supportive partner. It was just so cool because I just felt like I was being shown into this new world and this whole new community. And you realize that there's like, it's not just you, like you don't feel so alone with it. Like you realize that there are lots of other people who've done this, who've been living this way for a long time. And it's just such a fun thing to go to those events. I'd also say, like, you know, I get that it can feel potentially a little restrictive at first when you're like, oh, I can no longer eat this and I can't eat this and I can't eat that. But on the other hand, there are so many new products for you to try now that you would never have really needed to try before when you were just eating a regular diet, because like you would have had no need to necessarily. You wouldn't have even thought maybe to go and explore some of the products that are in the health food aisle or in the vegan section at the supermarket. And in 2022, and like I'm so excited for what we have in the future, but we have so much choice. There are so many cool new products coming out. We've even got like cheap vegan croissants now that you can get at the Coles bakery section, like from the brand is like Bakery du Jour. They're like $2.50 for a 3-pack. They're so good. There's vegan cakes. What else have we got? Vegan mayo, vegan cheese. There's even vegan egg mix substitutes and stuff. There's just so many things to try. And don't get me wrong, like don't expect every single one to be delicious. Like there are going to be some hit and miss products out there, but definitely know that, like, you know, when it comes to trying new products, the flavor and the texture and everything, it varies quite a bit by brand. And especially for commodity products that before would have just been like, you know, you could probably buy any brand of dairy milk and it would taste pretty much the same, assuming, you know, you're comparing full fat to full fat, like it's not going to taste vastly different. When it comes to vegan products, remember that each brand is going to have their own formulation and flavor, and they're going to potentially use, like if it's a soy milk or an oat milk or an almond milk, whatever, they're going to use different gums. They may not use gums or thickeners, and that will vastly change like the texture and viscosity in that example. And same goes for like all the different other substitutes, like particularly meat substitutes. You know, you've got analogs, which are like the products that are trying to replicate the actual taste of like flesh. So, you know, like Beyond Burgers, for example, or V2 Burgers would be trying to replicate the exact taste of like a beef burger. But you could also have plant-based, you know, traditional veggie burgers that come in such a wide variety of flavors now using different veggies and stuff. And they all have different tastes too, or different spice combinations. So don't be disheartened if you do try something and you don't like it. Try to think of this time as like experimentation, and like just enjoy the novelty, I suppose, of trying all of these new products. And on top of like trying new products and going to events as well, like don't forget that there are lots of community activities that you can do if you are feeling really passionate. I know that I was certainly at the beginning. There are lots of different outreach groups that vegans do. So, you know, the one that springs to mind immediately, which I've mentioned on the podcast before with like guest interviews, is Anonymous for the Voice. I personally haven't actually done much activism at all. I don't know that it is necessarily something that I'm going to do, but I do highly, I have a lot of respect for people who do activism and who do public outreach as well. If that is something that you are interested in, you know, you can contact them, your local kind of group. If you live in a major city, I think they have like Facebook groups as well. You could even start like an outreach post. There's all sorts of volunteering you can do too. Like you can volunteer at sanctuaries, you can volunteer with other vegan organizations, like even with the Animal Justice Party, for example. There's so much that you can do if you are so inclined. And also, like, even if you don't want to necessarily volunteer, there are like meetups in cities. There's even like online communities as well. Like, I always think of Instagram. I know that it's not, you know, like it's not like a designated page or anything like that, but there are so many of us living in Melbourne, like so many vegan foodies that I have connected with and met over the last 3 years. Like, it's crazy to think that there are so many people out there who I just like chat with every day now who I didn't know. And even some of them, though, I haven't even met some people in real life, but I feel such a strong sense of connection to all the people in this community. And Instagram is just an amazing way to meet people, I personally think. TikTok is, you know, it is good too. You get a bit of hate on TikTok, I find, as a vegan, but it can be a great way to meet other people. So definitely don't lose touch with the people around you who are not yet ready to learn about veganism or why you're going vegan. Stay connected to them. You're going to need them for emotional support, although you may not be talking directly about veganism with them, depending on their stance on it. And also try and reach out to people within the community so that you have that feeling of being understood, I suppose, and knowing that you are not alone in this. Another way that I think that you can make it really fun in this first phase of going vegan, like, and trying to, like, I guess, make it positive and balance out those negative, traumatizing documentaries and all that new information, is to go to new restaurants. So if you do have the privilege of living in a major city, you know, you're going to find that there are loads of vegan restaurants that just probably weren't on your radar before, because again, you're just not living that way. So if you are in Melbourne, some of my favorite ones to try would be like Red Sparrow Pizza. They're in South Yarra and also in Collingwood. I have taken non-vegan friends there before and they love it. Like, everybody really, really rates the cheese that they use. It is so delicious. Get the Verde Pizza if you do go. I also really love, like, places like, for pizza, this is A25. They're non-vegan, but they have a dedicated vegan menu. And oh my God, it is so delicious. A really great Italian pizza as well. I mean, of course it's Italian, but you know what I mean? Like, proper Italian pizza, like with a really nice thin crust and sourdough crust. Brunswick Street in Fitzroy, if you are in Melbourne, is obviously just an absolute destination for vegan food. Places like Veggie Bar, which have been around for like a really long time. It's just like an institution. And then I'm pretty sure up and down that whole street, you've got like Yong Green, you've got like Fina's. There are just Madam K's. There are just so many vegan and vegetarian friendly restaurants up and down there. So definitely make sure you go and explore some of these options. There's loads of places all around. I won't list every single one here, but I might put some more in the show notes so that you just have some recommendations. But yeah, use it as a time to just like explore and just have fun and like take some of your non-vegan friends along as well if they're open to eating vegan food. And it can be a great way to like integrate them into this new part of your life, I guess, without having to actually talk about the subject matter. And it will help them feel a bit more comfortable with it too, I think. Okay, so my other piece of major advice when it comes to going vegan is to make it as easy as possible. Like, there is absolutely no shame in using like mock meats and eating substitute products at the beginning. Just be aware that not all substitutes are going to replace all three of these things. They're not going to all replace the nutritional value of the original product. They're not necessarily going to taste exactly the same, and they're not necessarily going to look exactly the same. So if a product can do all three of those, then amazing. If they can do two or more, even better. So an example that I like to use is Koyo, for example. Looks like yogurt, tastes like yogurt, but has no nutritional value compared to like a dairy Greek yogurt. So I think it's important to be aware of those things. Same for the coconut cheeses as well. You're just not going to get the protein that you would have got from eating a dairy cheese, but they're so handy, and there is absolutely no shame in using these kind of products at the beginning if you're just like a bit lost as to what to eat and you're wanting and craving those meals that you used to eat in your regular diet. Another thing though to keep in mind with them, as much as I'm like, use them as much as you want, they will be a bit more expensive than the conventional or the regular item sometimes. So vegan cheese can be quite expensive, for example. Koyo can be quite expensive. And often what it is that you might be paying like the same dollar value for the product that you would have, like, you know, say for a bag of cheese, you might be paying $6 for the dairy cheese, and then the $6 vegan product, but the vegan product has way less cheese. So often it's like the same price, but just less product, which is frustrating. But know that obviously the more people that go vegan and the more demand there is, the less we're going to pay eventually. So obviously everybody's working to different budgets. I'm speaking from a very privileged position where I can afford those products when I need the convenience. But of course, you can also explore new recipes if you want to as well, if you have the time and inclination, if that's what you prefer to do. Definitely you can check out my page for some recipes for some easy dinners and substitutes. And a couple of desserts on there actually as well. A couple of breakfasts too. I probably need to make some more breakfasts actually. But yeah, I guess it just really depends on what floats your boat. But I always do say, like, don't be ashamed of eating the mock meats and stuff. And don't think that you need to do this like super healthy whole food plant-based thing when you go vegan. Like, that can be quite different to what you might have eaten in a regular diet. So I would just say try and match what you used to eat and find substitutes for your favorite meals. And that way you're not going to feel deprived. So make it fun, make it easy as much as possible. And once once you have learned all of that information, I should have said this at the start, but once you have, you know, really solidified the reason that you are going vegan, that you are making this change in your life, and trust me, it is going to need to be a really strong reason, and you are going to need to feel a serious emotional pull towards this in order for you to make this change in your life and stay vegan. But anyway, that aside, don't feel that you need to continually expose yourself to traumatizing or violent or graphic footage in order to stay vegan. For me personally, like, I learned enough information at the start that I have not really watched, I don't think I've ever watched any documentaries since I actually went through that initial learning phase at the beginning. I have watched some YouTube videos from like Earthling Ed, who is amazing. And, you know, I've educated myself, I guess, on different topics and things that have come up in the last 3 years, but I certainly don't feel the need to go back and continually expose myself to the horrors of the animal agriculture industry. Like, I just don't need to be carrying that around with me every day. And I would also advise you to, if you've made your decision, stop. Like, you don't need to continually expose yourself to this stuff unless, of course, you know, you do feel really compelled to go into activism and to be on the front line. And I have so much respect for the strength that people have when they do that kind of work for the community. Personally, I just don't have the, I don't have the strength to do that. I just find it way too emotionally draining. I am absolutely gutted and just totally devastated whenever I see animal cruelty. And I just know that in order to protect my emotional energy and for me to try and give as much as I can to this cause and to this community, that I should just focus on what I am better at. And at the moment, it seems like I am better at making super easy recipes and making quick little videos on Instagram. So that's what I am doing. And I would encourage you to just know when you've reached your limit and when you are satisfied that you know enough, don't feel the need to continually expose yourself to that darkness, I guess. So before I get into how my perspective on veganism has changed, I just wanted to give you a quick run through of some of my favorite products right now at the supermarket that you might not have tried. And if you are vegan already, I'd be curious to know who like has tried these and who hasn't. But here are some of my favorites that I reckon you should try. One, in the health food aisle at Coles, there is an egg replacer product by a company called Ogryn. It comes in like this yellow sort of pouch sachet thing. And I think it's called like Easy Egg. It's basically this chickpea-based dry mix. You add like a couple of water, a little bit of oil, and you pan fry it, and it can make an omelet or scrambled eggs, and it actually tastes delicious and is such a quick like 5 minute omelet. I personally love it. Doesn't have the full protein content of like a tofu scramble, obviously, but is still really good, quick, yummy breakfast. I like to have it with like an English muffin or something. So yum. Some other products are like the vegan Milo. I reckon that is just delicious. And I was interviewed on the To Be Honest podcast today with Amanda and Cara. And I was saying that to them, and Cara was like, yep, 100% agree. It is like almost identical to the original Milo. So definitely recommend trying that one. I also really like the Follow Your Heart mayonnaise. So Follow Your Heart, I'm pretty sure, is an American brand, and they have a mayonnaise in the chilled, like in the fridge at Woolworths. It's like got a blue lid and a glass jar and like a blue kind of colored like label. And the little Follow Your Heart is like in a little heart logo. It is elite. It is like the fattiest, and I mean this in a good way, like it's got a really fatty, creamy mouthfeel. It tastes exactly like a whole egg mayonnaise used to. And I'm like, they probably still taste the same, but I'm like, but from what I remember, it is so delicious and creamy and indulgent. Highly recommend. I think it's like $6, but it goes on special down to $5 occasionally. I really love as well, which I only just tried recently at an event that I went to, the Health Lab bars. These are in the health food aisle at Woolworths and I think also at Coles. Holy shit, they are the most decadent, realistic vegan chocolate bars. Like, they're kind of like doing like a take on like a Twix. Well, I tried a Twix and there was also like this Turkish Delight kind of marshmallowy one. Holy shit, they are so decadent and delicious. I thought it was like a health food brand because it's called Health Lab and it kind of looks like it would be like Bliss balls and like really healthy, you know, dates and coconut kind of thing. It is not. They are so, so yummy if you're looking for a treat. The only thing is that they are like crazy expensive. So I would just like keep an eye out for those going on special, but oh my God, yum. And this is like a random one. I'm just going to finish it up here so I don't do like a whole podcast episode on like food you should go buy. But Cookers biscuits, like if you are in the Oreo funk of like being a vegan and just looking for some biscuits, Cookers is like short for kookaburras, like so K-O-O-K-A-A, sorry, K K-O-O-K-A-S is how it's spelled. They are the most like delicious bickies. They are like two yellow sort of biscuits sandwiched between like, you know, jam. So it's like a jam biscuit, and you can get them with like one side is chocolate dipped and one side is plain, or you can just get like buy a second product, which is totally plain. They kind of look like something that your grandma would have served up at like an RSL afternoon tea, and they are so good. They're really chunky and big, and they come in like a clear packet. I'm pretty sure they're at both Coles and Woolworths. It's $5 or $6, I think, for the packet. Oh my God, they are so yum, and they are both vegan. So definitely go try all of those products if you're looking to like mix up your repertoire. And if you're already vegan and have tried these, I would love to know. So send me a message on Instagram if you have. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of you having to send me a message, I'm going to put on stories, like I'll promote the episode and I'll do like a little poll and see like who's tried what of these products and whether or not you like them, because I'm really, really curious. So yes, those are some products I would recommend. But yeah, my main tips are: don't lose touch with the people who aren't vegan or vegetarian in your life. Definitely don't lose touch. You are going to need them for emotional support, and we don't want to isolate ourselves. However, do reach out and find new friends and ways to integrate yourself into the community, and just use this time to have fun, like explore, enjoy new restaurants, try new recipes, like try new products. It can be a really expansive and joyful time once you move past that initial kind of trauma. Okay, finally, last thing for this episode, I wanted to just share a little bit, because I've been reflecting on it myself lately, how my perspective on veganism has changed, and it's kind of softened, to be honest, a little bit in this year. So when I first went vegan, I was much more, I had just gone through that phase that I'd talked about where I was really exposing myself, just learning a lot of the horrific facts about the animal agriculture industry. And I was fully like, I guess, committed to never, ever, ever eating an animal product again in my entire life. And I guess I just felt very strongly that I needed to do something. And that was, you know, how I started my Instagram page a few years ago, about 2.5 years ago, because I started it a few months in. I guess now, I don't want to say that like my passion has dwindled at all, but I guess I just recognize now that like people don't need to go vegan necessarily for us to see large scale change. Like, I think if people do make a small, maybe not a small, but if they start to reduce their meat consumption, for example, one of my friend's mums is now only eating meat on the weekends, which I get is not ideal. Like, and I know that people who are vegan who are listening to this might think that I'm being too soft here, but to me, it's great that she is no longer eating meat Monday to Friday. And honestly, I was so surprised when I found out that she was doing this, because my friend eats quite a lot of meat and, you know, she had eaten quite a lot of meat. So I was just really surprised to learn this, but also really like uplifted by it. Like, I was like, wow, like, you know, somebody who I never would have expected to go vegetarian or even, you know, part-time vegetarian, flexitarian, is like eating this way. Like, that is just such an amazing thing. So I guess I'm probably more of the mindset now when it comes to talking about veganism with other people or talking about meat consumption, maybe, or reducing meat consumption. I guess I'm just much more sympathetic to people who are just doing their best and who are trying, because I didn't realize at the beginning how deeply, how the significance of food and how it's really not just about like nourishing our bodies and nourishing ourselves. It is such a deeply ingrained cultural thing. Even if you are like, you know, an Anglo background like me, where it's like, you know, I don't feel like we have that much culture in like white Australia, but we do though, because we do actually have a lot of like, you know, holidays and traditions, and even just something as simple as like a weekend barbecue. You don't really think of these things as like cultural experience, but they are. And although barbecue is actually very easy to make vegan with all the substitute products out there now. But I guess what I'm saying is that I guess I have more of an appreciation now for the different reasons as to why people are resistant to veganism. And that's probably because I've been exposed to a lot of hate as well online, and like people's like, I guess, resistance to it. But I guess I just recognize that there are lots of factors that go into somebody's decision-making process, and that you can't shame anybody into being vegan. Not that I've ever really tried to do that, but it's just not an effective method to create change. Like, I just want to be an example of somebody who is living a normal life, you know, who happens to be vegan, who has an amazing life in all of these other respects, like, you know, and who is focused on lots of different things and who is a multidimensional person, not somebody who totally defines himself by veganism. And I'm not saying this in a way where I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody who does make veganism their life's mission. And, you know, ironically, like I would say, like, you know, most of my time I am talking about veganism or cooking or something like that. But I guess where I'm going with this is that I think that any change towards reducing meat consumption, reducing the consumption of animal products, is a really positive thing. And I am, I guess, more relaxed about people's, I guess, where people are at on their journey, and I'm not going to try and push it onto them necessarily. And I also like, I mean, again, I hope nobody listening to this is disappointed in me or anything like that. But to be honest, like if it came up in the future where I, you know, I don't know, where it's like, where if I felt like eating a tiny bit of cheese, or if I felt like, to be honest, I could never imagine eating meat again, to be honest, like ever, 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 because to me it's flesh and just really, really fucked up. And I know it sounds wrong because the egg and dairy industries, as we all know, if you're vegan, potentially worse than the meat industries in terms of the level of suffering that the animals experience. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I would hate to be in a mindset where I was so rigid about my veganism that if I ever slipped up and ate animal-based products, that I would throw the baby out with the bathwater, in the sense that I would just be like throwing my hands in the air and being like, well, I've ruined it now. I'm not vegan anymore. My title has been stripped from me, you know, and then throwing it all away. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you are doing your best, if you are vegan most of the time, even if you are just reducing your meat consumption, I think that is something to be celebrated. And I never want to be somebody who say, you know, like if somebody is vegan, but then they, you know, maybe they eat cheese like twice a year, or whether they, or whatever, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm just trying to be less rigid about it in my mindset and just try and encourage people to do what they can. So that's how my perspective has changed a little bit. I think before I probably felt more strongly about it. Like I felt that it was, you know, and I still agree with all of these beliefs, but I felt that it was a moral baseline, which is a word that I believe, I don't know who coined it, but Earthling Ed often uses it in his videos and stuff, that veganism is the moral baseline, because then you are in a neutral position where you're no longer directly and knowingly causing harm as much as practically possible, but you're not actively actually doing anything to prevent harm. You are just in a neutral position once you go vegan. You know, I think I'm just a bit more forgiving, I suppose, of people, and knowing that everybody's going to be on their own journey, and knowing that shaming people will never, ever, ever actually really make effective change. And so just being a role model, doing the best thing as much as you can, and forgiving yourself if you make mistakes. So that's kind of where I'm at on my perspective with veganism. I hope that if you are new to veganism, or if you're, even if you are already vegan, I'm hoping maybe you got some good product recommendations out of this episode. And I'll be back next week with an interview. Kind of mixing it up a little bit on the podcast at the moment. I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but I'm sort of trying to introduce more broader topics as well outside of veganism, because I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to reach more people. And kind of, as I touched on before, wanting to see myself as a multidimensional person, and wanting to recognize that you as a listener are a multidimensional person. And as much as I love having vegan guests on the show and talking about like their vegan journey and things like that, I don't want the show to become too repetitive. So I am going to expand the range of topics that I cover and the range of guests that I get, and not exclusively vegan guests, but just people that I think could enrich our lives, give us new perspectives. And, you know, knowing that a lot of the nutrition episodes do really well on the podcast, and a lot of like the psychology episodes do really well, and people want to hear more about ways that they can improve their lives, I guess, and improve their overall health and wellness. So I'm going to be focusing on that with a podcast in the future, plus probably a few solo episodes scattered in here and there. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back with a guest interview next week. Bye. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Vegan Diaries podcast. Episodes are released weekly on a Monday at 5 a.m. for all you early birds. If you did enjoy today's show, if you could consider leaving a written review on Apple Podcasts, that is the best way to support the show. You can also leave a star rating on Spotify or your app of choice. And if you'd like to get updates on the show in the meantime, please follow me on Instagram at Vegan Diaries with 3 underscores on the end, or you can also subscribe to my mailing list, which is on my website, vegan-diaries.com. Thank you, and speak to you next week.